In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, amen. When you look at the presbyteral, that is the priestly landscape today, one of the things you notice is a general identity crisis among the priests. Generally speaking, most priests don't even really know what it means to be a priest, let alone a good priest. What is a priest? Well, it's actually in Revelation, it's right in Scripture. St. Paul says that priests are called from among men to offer sacrifice. And we know from the Old Testament onwards that the essence of the priesthood is to offer sacrifice. It's not to be on committees. It's not to be a CEO of a minor corporation. It's not to develop various personality cults and things of this sort. It's actually there designed to offer sacrifice for his sins and the sins of those who attend his masses and for the sins of all the members of the church. There are, the theologians tell us, five kinds of sacrifice, which we actually find at every Mass. The first is Christ's Calvary sacrifice itself, for the Mass is the representation, the reparticipation atemporally in that same Calvary sacrifice which Christ himself offered when he offered his life for us. Then the theologians tell us there is what's called the sacramental sacrifice. This is the sacrifice in which when the priest says the words of consecration, his first words are to consecrate the body of Christ. As a result, the blood, soul, and divinity is also present. But then he consecrates the blood of our Lord, the wine, turning it into the blood of Christ. And from this they say that the body of Christ and the blood of Christ are split, just as they were on Calvary, but done sacramentally. Then there is the third kind of sacrifice at Mass, and this is when the priest, it's the public offering of the sacrifice of the priest, which is distinct from his private offering. Saying Mass, according to the rubrics and faithfully, is part of the duty of a good priest. He should follow the rubrics. He should submit himself to what the church has asked him to do, for the church itself even says that the laity have a right to have Mass said according to the rubrics. So in order to render justice to the laity, a good priest will in fact say Mass faithfully, that is, according to the rubrics. But he shouldn't do it out of some type of slavish idea to duty, even though duty should be part of it. It should instead be a matter of devotion, as a devotion, an act of piety in which he does these things well in order to please our Lord in his submission to Holy Mother the Church. This devotion avoids a kind of militarism or an over-formalism, and yet at the same time ensures exactness in fulfilling the obligation. It also provides a naturalness to the priest offering the Mass so that it doesn't become too rigid, but actually is done out of devotion. Then there is the private offering of the priest. This is when he adds his own prayers, sufferings, and good works in union with the sacrifice of Christ, which he is confecting on the altar, so that it may have its efficacy, its merit. This adding of his own suffering means that he has three things that he must do in relationship to that sacrifice which he is offering. As we know, there are three things in every sacrifice. The first is the offertory. This is when the priest sets aside the gifts, the oblata, and offers them to God. This is why if the priest, once he's done that, if something happens to him, he dies, those gifts have been set aside. You can't just use them for common use. Another priest has to actually complete the Mass if the other priest can't, in order to fulfill that setting aside. With Christ, we saw this offertory in the Garden of not my will, but thine be done. The priest has to surrender his life, his self-will to God by offering to him everything, ultimately. Because when a priest steps up to the altar, he never knows what sacrifice Christ is going to ask for him in his personal life. We already know three forms of that sacrifice. The first is poverty. He has to at least have some spirit of poverty where he dies to himself and taking comfort in the ownership of things. There is also chastity. He has to die to that natural inclination of any normal man to want to have a family, to have children. Also, it's obedience, which is the real dying to the sacrifice. Being oftentimes asked by your superiors to do things that you don't even think you're capable of, or that you don't know if you're going to have the grace to do, but if you're obedient, God will provide it. But those we know are only three. But there may be other forms in which he must, at each time when he's asked to do something that is difficult, he must offer that. Then there is the slaying of the victim. So the first thing you do is you offer up the gift. The next thing is you slay the victim. He must die to himself. The slaying of the victim, of course, was Christ himself dying upon the cross, and he must emulate that. He must die to himself to fulfill his duties as a priest. There will be times when he is wanting to go to bed, he's exhausted, and the phone will ring, and he's going to have to go to the hospital. He has to be willing to die to himself in those moments. This is done primarily by his taking care, pastoral care of those under him and for the church at large. This also means that he has to be willing to die for the very people that he is offering them his masses for which his priesthood is ordered. This means even that there will be laity who will attack him in his own parish. Virtually every priest can testify to that, that there's always someone who attacks him. But as Christ himself did, he offered the sacrifice, his death, even for those who persecuted him and even put him to death. This also means that he must do it out of charity. Just as Christ hung upon the cross out of love for us, he must do these things out of a love for them. For through love, one dies to oneself. One kind of love is that you will the good for other people and not for yourself. This means that in that loving, that is, when he does things for the sake of God, he's not going to do them for himself. When he does it for people under him, he is not doing it for himself. He does it because God has asked him to provide the elements of sanctification, those things which the priesthood provides for people's salvation. So he's not doing it for himself. He must be willing to die to himself. Third, there is the consummation of the victim. After you've killed him, put it to death, as we see in the Old Testament and also in Christ, then there's the consuming of the victim. This was to ensure that those things which were set aside for the sake of God were not used for common fare. This is why the priests would consume the things in the Old Testament that were sacrificed, and this is why Christ himself said, consummatum est. It is consumed. It is completed. The dying, what does this mean? It means for the priest that the dying can't be half-hearted. It must be complete. He who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. He has to be willing to die even in the little things, even in all those things where he might try and seek to find some little comfort because of the exhaustion that very often comes in being a priest. He will even allow those things, he'll himself to die to those things. This is where the priest, very often you'll see them, they'll sneak little comforts or little things, and in the end they end up denying their obligations to the laity. We've all seen it. We've all been to parishes where the pastor is trying to, or the priest is trying to reduce the number of confessions because hearing confessions is a job. It requires a lot of self-denial. And so he'll tell people, oh, you just have venial sins, you don't need to go to confession. Or he'll make the confessions inaccessible. Or he does Mass when it's convenient for him rather than that which is going to maximize the spiritual benefit for the laity. Those little comforts that you see priests doing, that's a sign they haven't fully embraced their priesthood. So what does this ultimately mean? Every single rational creature is called to perform the act of sacrifice, Every one of them, even the angels that fell, were called to sacrifice. What was that sacrifice? Self-will. They're given a task, they're given obligations. Both the angels and men meant that they had to sacrifice, to offer this act of the virtue of religion, sacrifice to God in sacrificing their self-will. If they do, then they will be saved. If they don't, they will not. But the priest has to be the one who does that par excellence. He has to be the one who provides the constant example to all of the people that are around him. And this is brings us to the fifth form of sacrifice. That is, the people who offer up their prayers, suffering good works, in union with the priest, and the offering that the priest is offering at Mass. When they join it, their offering as well has efficacy. Obviously, this tells us what the distinction is between the priesthood of the laity and the sacerdotal priesthood. The sacerdotal priesthood is the actual one that can make the Calvary sacrifice present. The laity's is to offer theirs in union, to perform that act of the priesthood of the laity in union with the priest, where they offer up their prayers, suffering, and good works so that it has merit. The priest must be the one who encourages by his example that constant offering of the people to Christ, their own suffering, their own dying to themselves. A priest, a good priest, will therefore have the heart of our Lord. He will have a devotion to the Sacred Heart. He said, "Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart." He will be burning with charity, which means he will do whatever it takes in order to save the souls of those underneath him. He will have zeal from that. But he can't have charity if he's not willing to sacrifice himself. And so he must be willing to die entirely in the process. The higher you go up in the hierarchy of the church, the more you are called to that death. Unfortunately, many people who go up in the hierarchy of the church are actually trying to seek out power, comfort, and things of that sort. Again, you have to avoid that if you're going to be a good priest. Therefore, I ask you to, along with me, to pray so that Father Passo will become that priest who has a sacrificial heart, who will constantly die to himself, so that those of us around him will benefit from the merit of his sacrifice. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.